Well, we know that this Christmas and all year, there has been a dearth of joy in many people's lives. I can't say there's been a lack of joy in every single person's lives, but there's been a joylessness permeating, in my estimation at least, in the world. And we live in a world that has been touting a dark winter of sickness and death and doom and gloom, and it just seems bleak. And I'm sure some of you who are sitting here right now, maybe in your life you have a dark cloud hovering over your heart, over your life, and just you know people as well who aren't experiencing this joy about which we've been singing and about which I'm going to speak about tonight. The sad reality is that hope has depleted in many people's hearts. And really, there is a scarcity of good news to be found in the world. Many people are at their wits' end. Christmas, which is one of the most joyous times of the year, for many, Christmas has been attacked. And even Christmas has been attempted to be destroyed. And forever forgotten by so many people. They just want to blot it out from history, especially the real reason for Christmas. Joy, hope, and truth, three really key words for many, have been hard to find in a world so bent on destroying these very things. In fact, joy, hope, and truth, those things in their most meaningful definition found in Scripture can really only be found in one person, in one place, and that's ultimately in Jesus Christ. And so today, if you are sitting here and you are desperate for good news, exceedingly good news, really the best news, then you have come to the right place. And that good news of great joy about which we just heard in Luke chapter 2, again, is found in no one else but in Jesus Christ. Steve read for us Luke chapter 2, part of it, and I want to bring us back to just a few verses and take a look at these few verses from Luke chapter 2, and they are verses 10 and 11. Let me just read, starting at verse 9, actually, just to reiterate this amazing event that took place in a shepherd's field. It says, starting at verse 9 in Luke 2, and an angel of the Lord, starting at verse 9, I mean, an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold," this is what I want to focus on, "I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." It's amazing. When Jesus was born in the city of Bethlehem, the purpose for which he came was gloriously announced by the first, if you will, evangelist in the New Testament, one of the first evangelists in the New Testament. And it was an angel of heaven that came bearing this good news, who came down to preach the news to none other than shepherds. And these shepherds were keeping their flock by night in the region of Bethlehem. And this word Bethlehem, this name Bethlehem, this city of Bethlehem, literally means house of bread. The long-awaited Messiah, the Messiah that Israel had been longing for and waiting for many, many hundreds of years and really millennia, is also the bread of life, who came down from heaven himself, was that day born in Bethlehem, the house of bread, the city of David. The place that Micah 5 in the Old Testament said that this one would be born in. the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Son of God, the Creator of the universe, was born in a humble and common manger, really a feeding trough for animals, to a young virgin, which also was prophesied, as Lowell read, in Isaiah 7 and 9. This isn't just something that just happened out of nowhere. This was planned and chosen and decreed and foreordained by God in eternity past and proclaimed in the Old Testament that this was about to happen. And sure enough, it did happen. God kept his promise from long ages ago, as he always does, and he sent his Son into the world, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. And he came in the form of a human baby, again, born of a virgin miraculously, into a world of sin and darkness and evil, for the purpose so that he might save lost, undeserving sinners like you and me, whom he came to seek and whom he came to save. To announce this amazing news, in verse 9 of Luke chapter 2, the glory of the Lord shone around the shepherds. The Shekinah glory, the very presence of God, shone around these shepherds in such dazzling display in this open field. These were men as shepherds who arduously labored day and night. And they labored, as Bethlehem is not far from Jerusalem, and they had many sheep and lambs in their flock that they would eventually be sending to Jerusalem in order to be slaughtered in the temple for the sacrifice. When the angel suddenly appeared to them out of nowhere, what was their response? They were terribly frightened at God's magnificent exhibition of his brilliant, intense, bright, shining glory. They were terribly frightened. They were full of fear. Who wouldn't be if the glory of God came right now and shone around us? You see, without a Savior, without salvation, without having a forgiven and personal and a saving relationship with God, it's really only fear and trepidation a lost sinner can have in the presence of the one and true holy God. They feared, as anyone in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament would fear when God visited them, but they feared because, in a more general sense, it's a terrible thing for an unsaved sinner to fall into the hands of an angry, perfectly holy and righteous God, because that is who God is. He's holy. He's perfect. He is creator. There is not an ounce or a spot of evil or sin in him. On the flip side, people like you and me, all people are sinners. People have broken God's holy laws and have willfully walked away from their Creator, not wanting anything to do with him. As the Bible says, all people have sinned and all people have fallen short of the glory of God. No one is exempt from that. Every single human is born into sin. And consequently, and I know this is hard to stomach, and you might be thinking, well, Michael, I thought you were going to be talking about the good news of great joy, but in order for that good news to be exceedingly good, the bad news has to be understood. And consequently, because of our sin and us being sinners, his wrath, as the Word of God says, abides on sinners because of the fact that he is a just and holy God. And he must punish sin, for he would not be a righteous God if he did not punish sin righteously. Because of this, all people's lives, because of their sin, are separated from God. An eternity of punishment is a just and righteous punishment for those who reject Christ and spurn God and transgress his holy laws. Now, this is bad news, to be sure. This is the worst news, actually, that causes great fear, and it should. But the angel here, as he comes and speaks to these shepherds, who do have fear in their hearts at this moment, the angel dispels their fears by heralding the good news of great joy, which is first, as it says here, it's for the people. This good news is for the people. It was first and foremost for Israel, for the Jews from whom the Messiah came. The gospel was first extended and proclaimed to them. But this good news, thank God, is also for the entire world, for every single human being, for all those from every tongue, every tribe, nation, and language who would call upon the name of the Lord for salvation. For verse 14 in the same passage says, glory to God in the highest, and where? On earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. So unbeknownst to these shepherds, not far from them, the Savior of the world was born. Another lamb, not a lamb that they were tending to in their flocks, but another lamb, the Lamb of God who John the Baptist says takes away the sin of the world. This is Jesus Christ, who he himself was going to be sent like a lamb as a sacrifice for all sinners who believe in him. And so God chose simple, insignificant, lowly shepherds to announce the greatest news the earth ever received. The fact that the great divine shepherd of heaven has come. And this shepherd is also a lamb who was slain. And he was born in the city of a shepherd. He was born in the city of David, who long ago, King David, was given a promise that an eternal king with an eternal kingdom would come from King David's royal line. And so God's promise came true, and thus that promise of good news has arrived. That king has finally come, and that king, that Lord, that God, is Jesus Christ. And it's this good news of the coming Savior that people need more than anything else. Every one of us sitting here, we have ideas, we have some understanding of what we think we need in life, but God knows our greatest need, and it's Jesus Christ. The news isn't just news that comes and goes, this good news about which is being spoken of in Luke chapter 2. This news is not bad news. This news about which the angel is proclaiming is not fake or false or news of error. See, our world, as you all know, is inundated with bad news and unreliable news. We hear it every day, and it sadly can crush our spirits, can it not? How many of you watched the news in the last couple of days, turned it on, and then turned it off with a tinge of sadness and hopelessness in your hearts? Every day when those newscasters come onto the TV screen and announce the news, that news is usually occupied with death and violence and the crimes of evil men, deadly weather, pestilences, wars, rumors of wars, and corruption, everything really that results of living in a fallen world. But that's not the case with this announcement, this good news in Luke 2. These angels had the best news ever given to mankind. The shepherds could trust this news because it came directly from God. And the angel didn't just say it's good news, but also listen that it's good news of what? Great joy. This isn't just any news. This is good news of great joy. The word here for great used in the Greek could literally be transliterated as mega. This is mega, exceedingly great news, full of great joy. Profound joy. This is an indescribable joy. This is joy so large, so generous that our hearts cannot contain it. Think about in your own life, what brings you joy? What are the various things in your life that bring you joy? Take that and multiply that by infinity. That's how incalculable this good news of great joy is for me and for you and the whole world. The question we got to ask ourselves is, who is the good news of great joy for? It's for you. It's for you, and it's for me. See, the angel here is speaking to humble, ordinary, imperfect, despised shepherds. In other words, regular people. The best news is not here, at least. It's not announced to the high and mighty, the noble, the rich, the elite. It's announced to shepherds. But it's declared to those the world would have considered foolish and despised and despicable and unimportant. To those, really, who humbly, and there's the key word, to those who humbly admit their urgent need for God and recognize their lost, sinful condition and understand that life is short and no one knows exactly when they're going to die and there is an eternity to be had, and we have to recognize and confess that our lives are short. We're going to die one day and we're going to face God. Where are you going to spend eternity? These humble shepherds, we have to take on their kind of characteristic and run to God for grace. Run to God for forgiveness of our sins. And run to God in order to have peace with God. Because if you're not in Christ, if you're not saved, you're at enmity with God. There's hostility. But there's only one way in order to bridge that gap and to have peace with God, and that is by running directly and making a beeline to Jesus the Christ. This good news is for those who humbly confess and repent of their sin, who spurn their sin, who hate their sin, who have sorrow over the fact that they have offended a holy God and recognize that they are guilty before Him and that they recognize, I have a desperate need for a Savior. See, anyone who has received this good news and you're sitting here and you have received this good news, you know this deep joy about which is mentioned here, do you not? No matter what is going on in the world, in your life, despite the circumstances, despite the pain and the suffering and the evil that surrounds us, you can have unending, everlasting, perfect joy because of Jesus Christ. This is the joy that every single human being on this planet needs. Even if they try to attempt to find joy anywhere else, God knows that this is the joy, this is the reality, this is the truth you need, and this is why He came. This joy goes beyond just being an emotion. This joy is not a philosophy. It's not a man-made religion. This joy is not a fleeting desire or an item of materialism that cannot produce everlasting, meaningful contentment. Verse 11 tells us what this joy, this good news is. The subject of this good news of great joy is eternal. It's the truth, and it's found in a person. Who is it? It's the Son of God, the Lord and Savior. Now, just a few things here. The reason why Jesus is spoken of as the good news of great joy, why is Jesus spoken of this way? The good news of great joy. Well, there's a few reasons, and let me outline these for you. First is because He has been born here on earth. Isn't that good news? God came to us, Emmanuel, God with us. We couldn't ascend to heaven, but God came down here to dwell with us. He came to us as truly God and truly man. The God-man, God in human flesh. And He came to bridge the chasm that has separated sinful man from holy God. Yes, God came to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was born so that you and I might be born again. Jesus Christ was born so that you and I might be born to new life, to be made alive with God, to be spiritually revived and have a new heart and to become a new creation, because that's what we need. We need a new heart that loves and glorifies and serves God. Jesus came so that he might show us God. He said, when you see me, you see the Father. Jesus came to show us God. For when one looks at Jesus the Son, he sees God. Jesus also came to proclaim the truth. Another thing that is sorely lacking in our world. If you want truth, run to the Word of God. Run to Jesus Christ. Every word that came out of his mouth was the truth, because he is the living Word of God. Jesus, as he said himself, he is also the only way to God. See, if anybody wants eternal life, if anybody wants their sins forgiven, if anybody wants to be in glory in heaven with God, there is only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ. He said, no one comes to the Father but through me. He's also the life. Jesus is the life. He's the one who gave you life. He is the one who sustains your life. And if anyone wants eternal life with God and all his sins forgiven, he must believe in the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus also said that he is the resurrection and the life. Think about our bodies. How many of you have been sick lately? How many of you are thinking about your own death? The fact of the matter is, if you believe in Jesus Christ, he will one day resurrect you and give you a new body that never perishes, never gets sick, and never dies. Doesn't that sound like good news? Oh, and by the way, it's a body that will never, ever sin again. Amen. That's what most people are saying. Because as the promise is, you will live forever with God and one day receive that body. And you know what? All of this about which I'm speaking of right now, it is free. It is free in Jesus Christ. It's by grace, through faith in Christ, that any single person can be saved. There are no meritorious works. There are no works, religious or moral, that you can accomplish in order to receive this gift of salvation and eternal life. Why is that? Because secondly, this one born to us is the Savior. As verse 11 says, he is a deliverer, the Savior. Jesus voluntarily came to live amongst us and teach us, and he himself lived a perfect sinless life, and he obeyed the entire law of God without fail, something you and I never could do or never could have done. But he also came to die on a cross in the place of those who would run to him, come to him, and believe on him. Jesus Christ, as the Savior, saves and delivers repentant, believing sinners who put their full trust in him, knowing that if you do, he will deliver you from God's judgment. He will deliver you from the power of your sin. He will deliver you from the shackles of Satan, and he will deliver you from the fear of death, because you will know, as when you die, you will be with God in glory forever. You don't have to worry about death anymore. You don't have to worry about what happens after death anymore, because when you're in Christ, you know precisely where you are going to be going. Jesus saves us from the miserable and gloomy destiny of a godless, Christless, joyless, suffering eternity in hell, where all of those who rejected this truth and this gospel will end up when they die. It's not easy to say. It's not easy. I can't say that with a smile. But the thing is here, God is presenting to you good news of great joy so that you can have the freedom to know God, love God, and not face that reality. For the Bible says it's appointed men to die once, and after this comes judgment. But for those who receive this good news of great joy, Jesus Christ, that judgment was received upon him. as our Savior, he absorbed, he took upon himself the judgment that you rightly deserve. But he, God himself, in the flesh, took that judgment for you and me. The innocent one, the righteous one, Jesus paid the price for you, the guilty sinner, so that the guilty sinner would be rescued from these things and not be separated from God forever. Do you want to be separated from God? I don't. That's why Jesus gave us the gospel of Jesus Christ. And finally, this is the good news of great joy because of the final words that the angels say here. He's not only a Savior, but he's also Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord. Christ meaning he's the anointed one. God chose him, the second person of the Trinity in eternity past, to send him to earth to die for sinners. Jesus was not just anybody, though. He wasn't just anybody. He wasn't just any Savior. He was the one and only Savior sent by God, the anointed one, the Christ. As John 3:16 says, one of the most famous verses in all of Scripture, for God so what? Loved the world that he gave. He's a giver. This is what Christmas is all about. He gave to us, the world, his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Hello, is that not great news of good joy? Who does not want everlasting life? If you want eternal life, if you want to know God, if you want all of your sins forgiven, you got to run to God himself, who paid the penalty for you, who paid the price, who died and bled on the cross in order for you to have this. As we celebrate Christmas, as we're about to in just a minute here, light the candles and sing Silent Night, this is why we celebrate. Jesus Christ is the very good news of great joy. His grace, his forgiveness of your sins, eternal life, listen, can be yours. It can be yours if you would just repent of your sin and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and trust in what he did for you. For the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, what? You will be saved. Not maybe, not might, but you will be saved. It's a guarantee. That's a promise of God. Those who have the greatest joy are those who have received the good news of great joy. You know what? God created us for joy. God created us for us to know him and to glorify him forever, but sin sadly has crushed that joy. But when you are saved by him and know him and abide in his love, Jesus says in John 15, verse 11, these things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. This joy is not temporary. This joy is eternal, and it's a joy that is in you and that can never, ever, ever be snatched away from you, because God will never let you go, and he will joyfully receive you into his heaven when you pass from here onto eternity because of this good news. May you and may all of us, like these humble shepherds here in this passage, run to Christ for salvation. And as Luke chapter 2, verse 20 says, they went back praising and glorifying God for all that they had heard and seen, just as been told them. Right now, may our hearts also be bursting with glorious joy for this good news, the fact that God came to us as our Savior, as Lord, to die for us and save us and grant us eternal life. This is good news of great joy. And so let's have the musicians come up.